Second Chronicles chapter 16, your Bible please, and verse number 7. This morning we looked at how to have revival. Tonight we're looking at how not to have revival. Sometimes we need to know what not to do as much as we need to know what to do. And King Asa here shows us what not to do. In chapter number 16 of 2 Chronicles, we'll pick up our reading at verse number 7 and following. And at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa king of Judah and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. It's almost hard to believe what I just read. You wouldn't know it was the same fella of the previous two chapters. But we'll look at this tonight. Well, the main character here is King Asa of Judah. This chapter and the previous two chapters. He was a good king. As we saw this morning, he led the nation in revival. He was a good king for a long time. But he doesn't end up very well. He stumbles terribly here in his latter days, as we shall see. He shows us how not to have revival. First of all, not to have revival, all you got to do is just forget what God has done in the past. That's what he does. He forgets. For one thing, he forgets that God had given them a great military victory against the Egyptians in chapter number 14. I didn't mention that this morning, but in chapter 14 of verse 11, we find this king praying, saying, "Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God." This is his prayer. "For we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude." That was 1,000 Ethiopians. That's a million. That's a million. "O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee." So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. What a marvelous victory God gave King Asa on this occasion. But he forgot it. Because now there's a military need, and instead of trusting God and going against Baasha, he says, "Well, I'm going to have to go to the heathen for help. I'm going to have to bribe Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, and get him to come and help us against Baasha." He relies upon the heathen. He forgets what God has done for them in days past. And a surefire way to never experience personal revival is just forget all that God's done for you. And we can do that. And sometimes we do that. And it says of those that came out of Egypt in Psalms, it says that they soon forgot that God brought them out of Egypt. They forgot. He brought them across the Red Sea. They forgot that he provided manna every day and on, and they forgot and backslid, and you know the rest of the story. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness during that 40-year period. As Jeremy read to us in the prayer room, a lot of times we forget what God has done for us, and we do like the 9 lepers. We keep on walking. We don't come back and give God thanks. We take things for granted. We forget. So King Asa forgets. He looks to the Syrians for help. He doesn't pray. We don't find him praying here. We find him making foolish decisions. And no wonder the preacher comes to him and rebukes him. And I read that to us. Hananiah the seer, the prophet, comes to him and says, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand." King Asa forgot all that. But worse than that, he not only forgot the great military victory against an enemy of 1,000,000, he forgot the great revivals. He forgot the revival we studied about this morning. And not only had he experienced a great revival in chapter 15, he experienced a great revival in chapter 14. Now, there's not many in the Bible that experienced more than one nationwide revival. In fact, I can't think of anybody else. But he did, and God blessed him and made his name great. But he forgot all that. You see, that's the fella the devil's after, the man, the family, the church that God has blessed, amen, is the target of great opposition. And here we find Asa forgetting the revivals, and God would have done it again. God could have done it again, but that's not what happens. You see, this passage reminds us, it doesn't matter how well you've done in the previous days, chapters, years, that is not an automatic guarantee that you're going to finish right. This fellow didn't finish right. He had great promise and great revivals, but he didn't finish right. Diligence is required. You know, somehow we get a little bit slack. We get a little bit careless. We say, well, you know, I've been saved for 50 years, as if that guarantees that we, and says that we can just shift it into neutral and coast on into glory. Folks, that is a fatal attitude. You know why most accidents happen near your home, because you're almost home. And you get careless and you know the way. And a lot of Christians mess up and in the last leg of the journey, they get careless. Diligence is required to the very end, because the devil knows if we mess up toward the end, then that'll put a black mark over everything we ever tried to do. So we got to be more careful, more diligent, more prayerful the further on we go. Many do grow careless and unbelieving. So just how not to have revival? Just forget what God's done. How not to have revival? Just reject the word of the Lord. This prophet comes to King Asa. Hananiah tells him what God says. Says you shouldn't have relied on the Syrians. You relied on God in the past. He helped you. You should have relied on God again. You didn't do it. You know what King Asa does? He doesn't say, "Preacher, you're right. I'm so sorry. Let's pray. I need to repent. Maybe God will help me anyway and have mercy on me. I've done foolishly. I've relied on the arm of flesh. I've done a terrible thing. Pray for me. That's not what he does. He says to his guards, that preacher there, put him in jail. I don't want to hear that kind of preaching. He rejects the word of the Lord. The Bible says he was in a rage. Why? Why to get mad at preaching? The same reason people get mad at preaching today. They know it's true. They don't want to line up with it. They'll just get mad at the preacher. He didn't get mad at himself. He got mad at the preacher and had him put in the prison house. He's in a rage. He's out of his mind. You don't get mad at the mailman. He's just delivering the mail. You don't get mad at the man that's telling you the truth. The man that tells you the truth is your friend. The man that lies to you is your enemy. Even if it's a polished lie or a famous lie. This crowd said to me not so long ago, they said, don't you know that millions and millions of people believe this way? It was error. I said, who cares if 500 million people believe error? It's still error. That doesn't make it right just because so many people believe it or do it. What does the Bible say about it? Paul said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? This preacher was just delivering the mail. But Asa was wroth and put him in the prison house. He was in a rage. That's how not to have revival. You just reject the word of the Lord. And throughout the Bible, we find man, because of his rebellious nature, getting mad at the messenger, laughing at the messenger. They rejected Micaiah. Micaiah said, Ahab, you better not go out to the battlefield. You'll get killed. What happened? He went and got killed. That's what happened. They laughed at Noah. They put Jeremiah in the pit. Chased Elijah out of the country. Killed John the Baptist. And martyred Paul. And millions and millions of others. That's just man's rebellious nature. Instead of being honest and repenting and getting right, he hates God and hates the man that told him the truth. Hananiah was only warning him. But he turned a deaf ear. He trampled the word of God. Read this chapter inside down, inside and outside and upside down, every way, every verse. There's no revival in this chapter. Now there's revival in the previous chapter. There's revival in the chapter before that. Same man the whole time. But there's no revival when you forget what God has done and when you reject the word of the Lord, there will be no revival. Because revival comes when we remember what God has done. And faith says if God has done it before, he can do it again. God's no respecter of persons. Wilt thou not revive us again? That thy people may rejoice in thee. Revival comes when we know that God has not lost any power, and what he's done before, he can do it again. Revival comes when we bow to the word of God, when we say, yes, speak to me, Lord, and Lord, judge me by the word. And Lord, show me the way I look in your eyes. And Lord, your word will be the authority. And I will bow my knee to the word of God. That's when revival comes. Not when we walk out the door half mad and say, well, I don't care. I had a man say to me, not many people say it out loud, but he said it out loud. He said, I don't care what the Bible says. Well, this King Asa here, he turned a deaf ear. He rejected God's word. You see what happens every time you hear a message, you hear the truth, you have to choose whether to believe it or to reject it. You cannot repent of light received. Once you hear something, you are then responsible. That's right. And the more you hear, the more you're for which you're responsible. That's why Jesus said, woe to Chorazin, Bethsaida, those cities. They had Jesus Christ in person. Jesus said, it's going to be more tolerable in the judgment day for the Sodomites of Sodom. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a church. But Jesus said, you've had me in person and still rejected me. The greater the light, the greater the truth, the greater the responsibility is. And once you know the truth, you're responsible for it. And you got to receive it or reject it. You got to do something with it. I can't hardly believe it. Wow, I wish that wasn't so. That's how I know God wrote the Bible, because if man wrote the Bible, he wouldn't have put that in there. But that's the whole story. And that's a warning that as we go along in this Christian journey, we better stay humble or we're going to stumble. We better bow to the Word of God. Well, he kept going down, oppressing more innocent people. Now, remember now, this is the man that led the nation in revival. Undoing all the good he's done. Losing his testimony. That's one thing I hate to see, somebody lose their testimony. I was thinking this past week of a fellow I knew well. This great preacher. What a preacher. I used to listen to him and shake my head and say, that's amazing. Wow, wow, wow. And he's still going. He's still causing trouble everywhere he goes. Criticizing the Word of God. Tearing down every move he makes is tearing something down. Is that sad? That's what Asa did. See, when you reject the Word of God, you become the authority. And you don't recognize the authority of God's Word. You just do whatever you want to do when you're the authority. Well, there's one more thing before he passes off the scene. This same King Asa gets a disease in the 39th year of his reign, a disease in his feet. And in his disease, the Bible says he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to the doctor, but there's a whole lot wrong with acting like there is no God. So he relied on the heathen, the Syrians. He rejected the preaching. He oppressed the people. He went on in his willfulness, stubbornness, selfishness. And in his latter 2 or 3 years, he had this disease. And instead of praying about it, he just went to the doctors and expected, folks, any honest doctor will tell you they can't heal you. They can give you medicine. They can treat you. They can do a lot for you. But healing has to come from God. You say, do you believe in divine healing? Yeah, all healing is divine. Man can't heal. Amen. If there's any healing gets done, God did it. That's right. So he closes his life acting like there's no God. My soul weeps over King Asa tonight, because he could have been among the greatest. And I could have stood up here and said, one of the greatest kings in the history of the nation, and led the nation in 2 revivals, great King Asa. But I have to say, he did good for a while, and then he got proud and he got selfish and he backslid and undid all the good and acted like an atheist at the last. You say, that'll never happen to me. I'm a super duper Christian. You better hold on. You better watch that attitude. We better stay low. No revival in chapter 16. You see, God never forces revival. There's never a place in the Bible where God ever forces revival. If the people want it, God gives it. If they don't, He does it. He's always ready, willing, and able, but He's never forced it. He's never forced anybody to get saved either. Never. Invite, plead, beg, reason, yes. Force, no. Because you are not a puppet. On the end of a string, you are not a machine. You have a free will. You can choose to love God or not, to serve Him or not, to believe or not. You get to choose whether you want revival or not. We're quick to forget. We're quick to forget. Well, I wish I had the time to tell you of some great revivals. But even at that, we're quick to forget. Well, what an amazing verse is verse number 9. Right in the smack dab middle of all this backsliding on the part of King Asa is one of the greatest promises in the Bible. I mean, right there in the middle of absolute darkness, it's a bright candle where God says, if anybody is willing for me to show myself through them, I'll do it. I never noticed the context of that verse. And I've preached from that verse without the context. But this is a rebuke. The preacher is rebuking Asa for relying on the heathen. But right in the middle of all that rebuke, God says, but I'm looking over the whole world. And when I find somebody with the right heart, I make them a showcase for my power. Ain't that mercy and grace right in the middle of absolute rebuke and judgment? God just reminds us, this is what I'm going to have to do. It's not what I want to do. You don't want me, so that's fine. I'm not going to force myself, but I just want to remind everybody that my eyes are looking over every congregation, and I'm sitting on ready, and anybody, ones or twos, if they want me to use them, I'll be glad to do it. And He's still looking tonight, and whenever there's somebody that says, Lord, I don't care about my name, but I care about Your name. And Lord, if You could just somehow use me and people can look at me and see You, Lord, I'll be the nail that holds up the picture of You. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And isn't that about the way it is? If we're not right with God, seems like our whole life is nothing but a war. Amen. Trouble here, trouble there, bickering, strife. I mean, the life of a sinner and a backslider is turmoil. If you don't believe it, stand outside their door and listen one night. It's turmoil. So it's our choice tonight. God's still looking for somebody willing, somebody that's willing to get low enough, honest enough, somebody's willing to get hungry enough and empty enough and say, Lord, I'm tired of my way. I want Your way. I'm tired of my plans. I'm tired of my will. That's how not to have revival. They didn't have it. No generation, no church, no individuals ever had revival that forgot what God had done and rejected and resisted the word of the Lord. That came right out of the Bible tonight. I hope that'll be a help to us. Can I remind us of Tori's formula for revival. Let a few people get totally right with God and let them pray until revival comes. We can prepare our hearts. We can say, Lord, speak to me. Every day of your life, at some point, you ought to open your Bible and say, Lord, speak to me from your word. I know some people, they just read it as fast as they possibly can. Shut it and say, well, I did that. Won't you just slow down just a little bit? Just a little bit and say, Lord, speak to me. Amen. Speak to me. What do you want to say to me? And personalize it. And meditate on it all day long. Turn it into a prayer. Turn it into a prayer. We're standing tonight, please, all over the house. Thank you for your